Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right. We're going to be in a new sermon series for the next 10, 12 weeks. I don't know how long, but we're going to be in the great book of Philippians. That's way over there in your New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So be finding Philippians chapter 1. And and Paul founded the church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. And some people were saved on this as he was preaching there in the city. And all of a sudden, a church was born. And Paul wrote this letter after he was elsewhere in a Roman prison cell. And he wrote this letter to the church that he was so fond of in Philippi, probably around 62 AD, something like that. But I just wanted you to know a little bit of background before we get into the book. Philippi is still there today. You can see it. And it was a great church. And Paul was so filled with joy. As a matter of fact, joy is the theme of this book. And let me just, before we read the scripture, let me just say this. I believe it's Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, I believe it's Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "In His presence there is fullness of joy." And one of my favorite joy verses is over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says, "We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And so the title of the message this morning is Joy Unspeakable. And as we move through the book of Philippians, the common theme of this book is joy, filled by the joy of the Lord. So if you're ready to read now, let's stand to our feet. Philippians chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first two verses and then we'll carry on from there, okay? All right, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Now, Timothy didn't write the book, Paul did, but Timothy's with Paul. So Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Tad Ketch, ask God to bless the word this morning, would you?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just thanking you for the gift of salvation that you give us, dear Lord, that that all we've got to do for that, it's not by works, it's not by what we do for others, dear Lord, it's just accepting you.
Yes, Lord.
Accepting you as our Savior, dear Lord. It's not without the works are great, but, dear Lord, that's all we've got to do, and we need to keep that in mind. It seems too simple, but dear Lord, I just thank you for the gift that you give each and every one of us, and dear Lord, I just ask that those that don't know you, that they come to know you, dear Lord, and just be with Cal as he brings us a message. In your name we pray.
Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, one of my mother's, it's been a few years before I was even married. I was probably 24, 23, something like that. I got a letter from one of my mom's best friends. And I was having a tough time in my life. I was angry. I was mad. I was frustrated. I was confused. I was depressed. I was a litany of things. And on top of everything else, I was broke, busted, and disgusted. Anybody ever been there? And as I got to reading this letter, I realized that there were other people that had already been through some of the very same things I was going through. My mom's friend had been through that stuff. And so as I was contemplating and meditating on this letter, it dawned on me that even though I'd made a mess of my life,
God still loved me. And He still had a purpose and a plan for my life. He still wanted to use me for God's glory. And He was using that time in my life to make me more like His Son. So all the good stuff and all the bad stuff, God's big enough to use it for our good and His glory. Give a shout out to Jesus today. Amen. Now, I don't really know how to say this or explain this, but if you're a believer, you ought to be the most contented, satisfied, joy-filled person on the planet. Amen. Notice I didn't put happy in there. Happy depends on circumstances. That's up and down. But if you've got joy, you're going to make it. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to tell you, today, it's been probably 40-something years ago when all this took place that I was talking about earlier. I've got peace like a river. I've got purpose like a bird dog in a field. And I mean, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And I want all of us to get a hold of some of that today and really begin to take it with us when we leave here. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the old Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi as he was in a Roman prison cell. And he's telling the Christians in Philippi about this very thing I'm talking about. There is joy that's available to every believer. And nobody can take it away from you. You know why? Because Jesus is joy. Amen. Let me say that over here. Jesus is joy. J-O-Y, right? That's how you spell joy, is J-E-S-U-S. All right? Everybody with me? Going to give you three quick truths this morning from Philippians chapter 1. And verses 1 through 11. First of all, I think Paul's telling us that joy is found when we are helpful in our word. W-O-R-D. Now, Paul had a word, first of all, for the body. Did you see who he's writing to? To all the what? Saints. Everybody together. To all the saints. Paul had a word for the body. He's writing, first of all, he's got a word for the saints. And Paul had founded this church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, like I said, in a vision in the middle of the night, Paul was told to go to Macedonia and preach. And it was here that a young businesswoman named Lydia was saved. It was here that a slave girl had been set free from demonic possession. It was here that great Philippian jailbreak happened at midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing, and all of a sudden the prison doors flew open wide, and the jailer came running across the jailhouse floor shouting, "Paul, what have I got to do to be saved?" I mean, as he was writing this letter to the church, don't you know his heart was filled with tremendous peace and blessing, and as the church was hearing it, and I'm sure that they were blessed, and memories began to flood their soul. And so this was a word of blessing for the body. And by the way, Paul was writing, let me just say a word about this. Paul was writing to the saints. Not church members. He was writing to the saints. And either you're a saint or you... y'all been with me long enough, haven't you? And so Paul's writing to the saints. And then secondly, Paul's writing to the shepherds. Do you see that word bishops there? The word bishop and elder and overseer are used interchangeably in the New Testament for the office of pastor. And I want to tell you, the saints aren't the only ones who need a good word from time to time. The preachers and the shepherds need a good word from God. This is exactly why I go to a pastor's conference from time to time or a convention from time to time, so I can get fed. And so that I can become, you know, be encouraged. And I want to tell you, everybody needs a good word. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, word. All right. Y'all are coming to life. We need to skip the second mile brunch Sunday, I think. All right. Anyways, I'm just kidding. So Paul had a word for the body. He had a word for the saints. He had a word for the shepherds. And bless God, he had a word for the servants. Listen to this. He says to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. The word deacon means servant. And I want to tell you, our deacons need to be encouraged from time to time. They need a word. Would all of our deacons, ordained or unordained, would you please stand? Active or not active, just stand. These are some of our deacons. And guys, I just want to say to you, I appreciate your ministry. When the deacons are doing what they're supposed to do and the pastor's doing what he's supposed to do, the church multiplies. And deacons provide harmony and unity in the body of Christ. And our guys are doing a fantastic job. And I give God all the glory for that. Amen. So Paul had a word for the body, but also Paul had a word of blessing. Look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul immediately began breathing. After he had a word for the body, he immediately began to have a word of blessing for the congregation. Now, what you may not know is there was a small squabble going on at the church in Philippi. Two ladies. Two women were at it. They were having a cat fight, okay? And so, by the way, Betty Barnett told all of us in our church council meeting last month, she said, I am so thankful that all of our meetings with all these ladies, nobody's got any agenda. There's no fussing, no fighting, no squabbling. I'm so grateful for that. Hallelujah. If y'all don't know, there's problems like that, or you need to get out more often. That's the protection in the hand of Almighty God whenever you got peace. And so the word, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it takes grace to restore peace. And peace comes when the conflict is over. And so Paul wishes grace and peace on this great congregation. And by the way, Paul didn't give them grace and peace. Who gave them the grace and peace? God the Father and God the Son. Isn't that what it says? And so, by the way, there's no better blessing than God's grace and God's peace. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, may grace and peace be upon you. And so what a great blessing that Paul's praying over this congregation. And don't you know, whenever this letter was read at the church in Philippi, people weren't just sitting back in their chair like this. They were sitting on the edge of their seat waiting expectantly to hear from their great brother, the Apostle Paul. That's the way it is when we're helpful in our word. Amen? Here's the second thing. Joy can be found not only when we're helpful in our word, but when we are thankful in our walk. Look at verses 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with what? Joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We can be thankful for so many things in our walk. But first of all, Paul said he was thankful for the fellowship that he enjoyed in the gospel. Even though the Philippians were now out of sight, they were not out of Paul's mind. And as he began to think of them in that old, dark, damp, dank prison cell, his heart was filled with joy for the fellowship that they had. Now, Paul's having a tough time. He's in jail. How many of you have ever been in jail? Don't answer that. Being in jail is not a fun thing. And it's a hard thing. It's a tough thing. And Paul had even had trouble when he founded the church in Philippi. Did you know that Paul was illegally arrested? He was beaten by the authorities. This is all over there in Acts chapter 16. You can read about it as the church was founded. I mean, the people there in Philippi, the Romans and the Gentiles were very mean to him. They humiliated him and they put him in jail under fetters and stocks. But even those memories brought joy to Paul's heart. Why? As he thought about that jailer that was saved at midnight. As he thought about Lydia, the businesswoman, who'd been gloriously saved and opened up her home to start a church house. As he thought about that little slave girl, that servant girl who was healed of demon possession. I'm sure, and as he thought about how the church was flourishing and growing, I'm sure it flooded his soul and he was thankful. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There is a wonderful fellowship here at Second Mile. Now, I'm a Baptist pastor, and I understand that, but I'm just going to tell you something. There's only one family of God. There's only one church. We've messed this thing up, and when Jesus comes, He's going to straighten all of us out. But there's a lot of different fellowships, and Second Mile is one of those. And I'm thankful for the fellowship that we share in the gospel. The word joy in verse 4 in this is the key word in this whole book. Every time Paul thought of the church, his heart was filled with joy, and he'd bow his head and thank God. And you know, when I start thinking about all the folks that we baptized in here and out there, Will's filled that tub up many a time, hadn't you, brother? I'm thankful for all the baptisms that have taken place. I'm thankful for all the salvations that have taken place. I'm thankful for all of you that serve. I was so blessed to be yesterday. I was walking on cloud nine just to see you all out serving the Lord and praying over people and talking to folks. And yeah, you can even wash a car in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it was just an amazing thing. I love the fellowship of Second Mile Church. And I want to tell you all, I want to go on record again and just say, I'm blessed to be your pastor. I am. It's a wonderful place to serve. And so Paul's thankful for what's going on in the fellowship. By the way, the word fellowship means a deep personal commitment to one another. You don't walk away from your church family. You get in there and help them do better. And you don't fuss and gripe and gossip and complain. Well, that's another sermon. But we're together. And we've got this personal commitment to each other and to the Lord. We have a sweet fellowship. It's not just a social get-together. Although those things help. It's like opening up your home for a prayer meeting. It's witnessing together. It's calling on that sick saint. It's being the people of God. I'm so thankful. By the way, when the Philippian jailer was saved, you remember what he did? Paul's back looked like a furrowed field. He'd been beaten. And the jailer got saved, took him to his house and cleaned him up and fed him and gave him some encouraging words. That's who we are. We're the fellowship of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for this fellowship? Boy, three of us are. Hallelujah. And we can be thankful for His faithfulness. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. If you're a believer, you're going to make it. One way or another, you're going to make it because of His faithfulness. I'm thankful that God never let go of me. When I was 23 and 24 and 25 years old and in a mess, God never let go of me. He just kept on loving me. And by the way, if you're a child of God today and you're away from Him, let me just tell you again, God loves you with an everlasting love. If you're one of His, you can't be unborn. Ooh, that's good right there. That came out. You can't be unborn if you've been born again. By the way, you need to be born again because your first birth was defective. You were born into sin. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. Somebody, believe this or not, people say some negative things about preachers and pastors. And some of them are even bold enough to just say it to you. And that's good because I hate, wonder what he's thinking. You know, I don't like, anyways. Here's what Paul's saying. Be patient with me. God's not done with me yet. That word confident means persuaded. Paul was persuaded that God, this new world. By the way, when you get saved, that's just the beginning. That is just the starting point. And so God begins to work and move and mold you and melt you and make you into the image of His wonderful Son. Give God praise today. Hallelujah. And then we can be thankful for the fearlessness. The fearlessness. Look at verse 7 of the gospel. Just as it is right for me to think of this all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all. I always knew Paul was a country boy from down south. He uses that word y'all 9 times in this book. Y'all are partakers with me of grace. The Philippian church stood with the Apostle Paul fearlessly, faithfully. They had his back. He had their back. And I want to tell you, they were willing to stand even though Paul was in chains, even though they could possibly and potentially be thrown in chains for the gospel. They were living in a Roman culture. And y'all know what you had to do? If you were living in and around Rome during that day, you had to go down to what we would say the courthouse square, and there's an altar built there for Caesar, and you had to throw some incense on the altar and claim and give allegiance, Caesar is Lord. I wonder where we're headed in this country. But I want to tell you, I've had so many people worried, fearful, scared about the times that we're living in. Let me tell you something, brothers. The Bible is crystal clear. It's going to get tough in the last days, especially for believers. But you know what? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And we're overcomers. You don't have to be afraid. I love Adrian Rogers, Billy, and you know he used to say it's getting gloriously dark. Hallelujah, we're in the last days, we're in the last times, and the Bible tells us we are. All these things that are happening around us, but brothers and sisters, we don't have to cower down and be fearful and afraid. Look up, our redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. And so we can be thankful for the fearlessness that is available in the gospel. And then we can be thankful for friendship. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all. There it is again, y'all. With the affection of Jesus Christ. Whoo! Paul was bound in love to all of those believers. Even though Paul was separated from his brothers and sisters, even though Paul was not in their presence, he longed for their warmth and their welcome. You know what? If he'd been free, you know what he'd have said to Timothy? Timothy, boy, pack our bags. We're going to Philippi. And you know, when I'm away from our church family, that's exactly the way I feel. This is the greatest place on planet Earth to be on Sunday morning. And by the way, this is the greatest place to be on Wednesday night. I'm not going to ever apologize for praise and prayer meetings. Hallelujah. I'll stay off of that. I know I'm a broken record. But there's nothing like the family of God and the friendship that we have that's in Christ. What a blessing it is to have Jesus and to walk with Jesus and to hang with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. I've told our deacons, if y'all are with me, we'll charge hell with a water pistol together. Hallelujah. Amen. That's who we are. A friend, what is the old Michael W. Smith song? A friend is a friend forever if the Lord's the Lord of them, something like that. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, friend. I'm so glad you sang that song this morning. What a friend we have in Whoo! Y'all can go ahead and sing. It don't matter to me. I'll be the last one. You go ahead and get your praise on. I'm not going to stop that, okay? And then thirdly and finally, joy is found when we are prayerful in our work. Not only helpful in our word and thankful in our walk, but prayerful in our work. And the first thing that Paul jumps on here that has to do with prayer is we can be prayerful in our devotion to Christ. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that you're... What does that say to you? Bless God, we ought to be praying for one another. Amen. We ought to be interceding for one another. Amen. First of all, for our devotion to Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still... That word abound means overflowing. Still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Every time I'm around Dwight Dixon, Clarks, you know, Tell them what Dwight's favorite song is. No. Jesus loves me. Come on now. Isn't that a great, when you stop and think about that, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible. On our way back from the Red River Meeting House, Dwight was sitting in the back of the bus. I said, Dwight, lead us in your favorite song. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible. To Him belong, they are weak, but sing it out. Fabulous. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible. And by the way, we love Him. Because He first loved us. Yes. We should flood the Lord Jesus with our love for Him. And Paul prayed that that same love might abound in the Philippians. And Paul understood this, and we should too. There is a whole world of lost people out there. And if you love the Lord, you love people. I had somebody tell me one time, Brother Cal, I just don't know any lost people. And I said, well, do you ever get out of the house? He said, no, I don't even like people. If you don't love people, you need to get born again. God did not create us to be isolated. That was what was wrong with this whole mess on the beginning of COVID. God didn't create us to be isolated. He created us to be together. And by the way, look at the one sitting next to you. If they're born again and you're born again, you're going to be with them for all of eternity. So you better start loving them now. Hallelujah. So, and by the way, our love, our devotion for Christ should be filled, he says, with what? Did you catch that? Knowledge and discernment. Love does know its limits. Now, we're to love everyone. But we don't have to love everything everyone's doing. And you can love people in spite of the things you... When did we forget to learn how to agree to disagree? But we use knowledge and discernment in these limits. And we're not to indulge every whim and every wish. But there are times when rebuke and discipline are needed. I'm so thankful for the times in my life when somebody sat me down and said, Cal... We need that. And that's included in our love for Christ. Sometimes we need to operate in tough love. Amen. Amen? And so we can be prayerful in our devotion to Christ, and then we can be prayerful in our doctrine of Christ. Look at verse 10. We're almost done. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may approve the things that are excellent. Now, the word approve means to test things that differ. It has its roots in the heating up and the purification for metals. Y'all know how they used to, you know, purify gold and silver and all of that. Well, they would put it under heat and pressure, and then all the impurities would rise to the top. And then they, well, that's exactly how we're to treat the different doctrines of the faith. We're to test them. And, you know, there's a lot of churches out here that got different doctrines than we do. Y'all understand that? I was talking to somebody in our church yesterday, and he's dealing with what I would call a cult group, a couple of guys, and they're just on him like a cheap suit. And I said, well, you know, and their doctrine is quite a bit different. They've even got a book that helps explain the Bible. Bible says if you add anything to this book, the words of this book, or take away anything, you are going to enjoy the wonderful things that happen to tough folks in the book of Revelation. And I said, what are you telling them? Because they want to argue with him and theology and all that. And you know, I was so proud of him. You know what he said? I just told them, Brother Cal, I believe the Bible. It's our practice for everything. It's what we believe in. And all these doctrinal differences, you don't have to have a falling out fit with somebody. But then again, we don't walk together in unity and harmony. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll fight for somebody's right to believe the way they want to believe. They've got that right. But in today's society, listen to me. Listen to this. We not only need to know the difference between what's good and bad, we need to know the difference between what's good and what's best. Let that sink in. A lot of good things we can move towards and do, but is that God's best? Well, you'll find God's best, hallelujah, in God's book. Amen. It's okay to clap by yourself too. Hallelujah. And so we can be prayerful in our devotion to Christ, in our doctrine of Christ. I could say a lot about that, but we'll move on. We can be prayerful in our demonstration of Christ. Woo! Watch this. 10b. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Let me say that again. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of Almighty God. Now, we are prayerful in our demonstration of Christ. A person who's wrong but sincere is still wrong. They've been deceived. But on the other hand, a person who's right but insincere, they're just playing games. If you're a believer, we need to be right and we need to be sincere, both of those. In other words, what Paul's saying here is in our demonstration of who Christ Jesus in us and for us, we need to be right and sincere. We should live each day as if today is the day Jesus is coming. If you'll get up every morning and that's the first thought on your mind, today could be the day that Jesus is coming. And He's coming. If today's the day Jesus is coming, it'll help you to live righteously. Because if you've got His Spirit, it's kind of like a magnet. He's there and He's coming and we're drawn. Hallelujah. What is the fruit of our righteousness? It's living a godly, holy life. Did you catch that there in verse 11? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. All that simply is, we ought to live every day as if today's the day Jesus is coming. We ought to be living expectantly. Do we believe He's coming? Yes. You all know why we love the studies in Revelation and all the end time stuff. You know why we really want to hear somebody preaching on that stuff? I'm about to give you some truth so we can get cleaned up just before He comes. Most of us, not all of us. But just the same, He could come right now. And I'm awful. I'm horrible. I used to tell our people on Sundays, I don't say this much anymore because we don't even have Sunday night church, but I used to tell folks, Jesus is coming on Sunday night. Preachers are so fallible sometimes, amen? But we can be prayerful in our demonstration of Christ. By the way, let me just say another word about MoCo Day yesterday. I was so thankful for our people out being a living example of Jesus Christ. I watched you all pray over people and touch people and love on people and be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's who we are. Not because we're such good people, it's because God is good in us. The fruits of our righteousness is that Spirit-filled, Christ-led, Christ-honoring life that we live. Oh, that we might be strong in our devotion, sound in our doctrine, and sincere in our demonstration of Christ. We can be prayerful, prayerful in our work. We can be thankful in our walk, and we can be helpful in our word. And when those things all come together, guess what? You've got joy. You've got, and I'll tell you, some of us up in here need some joy today. And I began with, how do you spell joy? J-S-U-S. But listen to this. I heard some crazy preacher say this years ago. How do you spell joy? J-O-Y. And he said, J stands for Jesus. I thought, duh. And then he said, O stands for zero. Nothing. And he said, Y stands for you. And I'm like, where's he going with this? And then he said, and I'll never forget it, if there's nothing between Jesus and you, you've got joy. That's a good note to end on, amen? Would you bow your head with me? Father, I want to thank you for the joy-filled life that only Jesus Christ can bring. Oh, we can be up and down like a yo-yo when it comes to happiness because stuff happens. It's hard to be happy in tough times. But nobody can take that joy from us. Because in your presence there is fullness of joy. We rejoice that there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to pray for our people here this morning, Father. I just want to pray a blessing over them. That we would begin and keep going down that road of joy. That we are helpful in our word. That we are thankful and grateful in our walk. And that we would be prayerful in our work with folks. And Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior. We spoke to people yesterday. Many don't have a relationship with God. But folks, there's lost people up in the church house every Sunday. So God, I pray that right now in the quietness and stillness of this moment that you would move in this place. That you would prick someone's heart, woo them, start drawing them and help them to recognize their need for Jesus. Touch us today. If you're here and you're not born again, you're not a believer, oh, your name may be on a church roll, but you know and God knows. If you'd be willing to pray something like this with all of your heart, God, I'm a sinner. And my sins have separated me from you, but I'm so, so grateful that Jesus paid the price for all my sin. And Father, I believe he's alive this morning. He rose from the dead. And right now, I just want to give you my life. I turn control of everything over to you. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, save me. In Jesus' name I ask it. If you prayed something like that and meant it with all your heart, it's the first and last time you ever need to pray a salvation prayer because Jesus right now took up residence in your life. And you've begun this brand new life. And you've made the last independent decision of your life. He calls all the shots now. And the first thing he's asking you to do is to be baptized. And you need to come this morning for your baptism. We'll set that up for you. We'll put some stuff in your hands that'll help you get started right. But you're going to have to take that step and go public for Jesus. This is your coming out party. And there's an altar here where we can come get prayerful together. Father, bless this time now. As those that would come forward with spiritual needs, those that would come forward for physical and financial, emotional, mental needs. Oh God, you do what you need to do right now during this time of invitation and response. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, all God's children said. Amen. All right, let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.